point does a baby get human rights?
Answering that question with specificity is above my pay grade.
Faith without works is dead. People need to carpool more. And because Americans are so overweight, it might not be too bad to walk more.
If I have to follow him to the gates of hell, I will get Osama bin Laden.
Congratulations. All of my gay friends, I'm like, when are you getting married? I want weddings.
I don't know when all this began, the gay rights parades, the famous people coming out of the closet. It's all kind of trickled in over time, but now it seems to have reached a critical mass, to mix my metaphors for a moment. The whole gay activist movement has taken on a different tenor, and it's moved sometimes into the courts, and especially challenging things like the definition of marriage, or what kind of privileges gay partners should be able to exercise with one another. Of course, along with marriage comes the whole issue of adoption. Well, we're on the cusp of something, either a capitulation to the gay rights activists, or in some way turning it around. In either case, there are going to be a lot of people who will be very unhappy. We're going to talk about gay rights activists here in the first 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. And thanks for tuning us in on this Wednesday, August the 27th. After a short conversation with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on gay activists, Ken Samples joins us, one of my favorite guests, by the way. He's a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe based in Pasadena, California. We'll talk about worldviews, your worldview, your neighbor's worldview, and how Christians often carry around a mixture of worldviews that are not altogether Christian. You can join us for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, and she is author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues.
Thank you so much for having me on, Todd. I'm really excited to be in St. Louis this afternoon.
Is this just something that is magnified by the media? How powerful is the gay activist lobby?
Well, you know, Todd, if you look in proportion to their numbers, they're really extremely powerful. Because gays are only about 2% of the population. Of those people, not all of them are going to get married or want to get married. There's dissent within the gay community about whether gay marriage is even a good strategy for them. And so a subset of people are really having a huge impact on the culture, and it's because they're focused and they're organized and they're tenacious.
So we're talking here about a small but vocal? Is that
That's a good
term here?
Yep. Absolutely.
Let's get some of the numbers squared away if we can. It's often claimed that either in or out of the closet, 10% of the U.S. population is really gay.
That's completely fallacious. That's based on numbers sort of made up by Alfred Kinsey years ago that have never been duplicated by any responsible researcher looking at actual survey data with a representative population. It's closer to 2 or 3% of the population that meets some definition of gay. And even the topic of gay, the item itself is hard to even fully define, because what are we talking about? We're talking about people who are having same-sex fantasies, people who are engaging in same-sex acts. Are we talking about people who are define themselves as gay? All of these questions are part of the definition, and scholars vary quite a bit about what is actually included within the definition. So to come out to say 10% of the population is gay is a complete overstatement of the situation.
There are two stories recently in the news that help occasion this conversation. One of them has to do with the fertility clinic in the San Diego area that apparently refused to inseminate a lesbian at her request. What's the story here, and give us your thoughts on it?
Well, the story there, that case has been going on since the year 2000, and the clinic had a policy of not inseminating unmarried women. And the lesbians took offense at that and claimed that the real reason was that they were gay and not that they were unmarried. And so that has been kicking around the courts, like I said, since the year 2000. And what happened just in the past week is that the California Supreme Court ruled that religious liberty was not a defense against the charge of discrimination, so that there is no exception to be carved out in the anti-discrimination statute for those who have some kind of seriously held, deeply held religious conviction that they're being asked to do something that is wrong. That is not good enough to be a defense. And so the case will go to trial, but the doctors will have to defend themselves on some other grounds other than religious liberty. So it's a significant case because it's specifically saying that the right to be treated the way you want to be treated trumps the doctor's right to religious liberty, and that really is something quite new.
Another story has to do with a man who owns a hotel, again out in California, and who is made a donation to a proposition that would have instituted a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. How did the gay activists react?
Well, what happened there is that the large donors to Proposition 8 out here in California have been targeted by the gay rights activists. Their names have been published in the paper. There's one of them. There's a campaign against one of them that's basically, it says his picture's on a website and his phone number's there, and people are told, call him up and ask him why he's doing this mean, awful thing of trying to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. But the particular fellow there that we're talking about in who owns the hotel, what is happening to him is that various large organizations that normally have conferences and conventions at large hotels, those organizations are saying, gosh, we don't want to stay at a hotel that discriminates against gay people, so we're pulling out, and we won't hold our convention at the Manchester Grand Hyatt Hotel. And it's a complete misunderstanding of the issue, as far as I'm concerned. But the fact is that those organizations have enough gay and lesbian influence within them that the people, the decision makers in those organizations are prepared to say, hey, we're going to move our conference, we're going to go someplace else because we don't like the fact that you gave a small amount of money to support the marriage initiative.
You had mentioned earlier definitions, and it seems to me that it's become standard, especially among our politicians, when they want to express their support of homosexual activists or the expansion of rights or privileges for homosexuals, to talk about the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community, GLBT. It's now quite standard to hear that, and it makes one wonder whether or not this is really only about homosexuality.
Well, I think that's a very astute point. It's not only about homosexuality, it's also about our understanding of human sexuality, the place of gender in society, and a whole lot of other things. And I recently did a 4-part series here in San Marcos, California, where I called this series Same-Sex Marriage Affects Everyone. To deal with the claim that people sometimes make, well, gosh, how does it bother you if two gay people get married? Same-sex marriage will affect everyone because redefining the institution of marriage means that you're going to be redefining it for everybody. So before you can say, gosh, it doesn't matter, you have to ask, well, what is marriage all about in the first place? What job is marriage doing in society, and what will happen if we redefine it? So I've now produced a 4-part CD audio set and a DVD series that is basically the summary of these talks, so that people can then use these to educate themselves on the issue, so that people can use them to hold parties in their house and invite their friends over, and they can listen to one of these audio presentations or look at one of the DVD presentations and say, hey, here's what the issue really is about in substance. And it's not about discriminating against gay people. It's about what marriage is and why society needs marriage. That's what the issue is. We don't see it even as a civil rights issue at all. We see it as an issue of the integrity of marriage and the importance of marriage. And so we here at the Ruth Institute have created this tool, this 4-part training series that you can get either in audio or video, and you can use it to inform yourself, you can use it to inform your friends, and to just be better informed and better prepared to deal with these very kinds of questions that you're raising here for me, Todd.
So then with only about 30 seconds here, you talked about marriage as the key point for people's concern here and where it ought to be focused. How would you respond to someone who says, look, homosexuality, let's live and let live, and it's not going to hurt anybody anyway? 30 seconds.
Well, the problem is that every child has two parents, and every child has a legitimate interest in a relationship with both of their parents, and they have an interest in the stability of their parents' union. And same-sex marriage, for the first time, says that adult society is not concerned about whether you have a relationship with both of your biological parents. Marriage will become an institution that's focused on adults and adult interests and adult needs, rather than focusing on the child's right to be attached to and cared for by both of their biological parents. It takes the meaning and importance and significance of marriage and stands it on its head so that it's no longer about the good of children. That's what I would say to you in 30 seconds.
Jennifer Roback Morris is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Diego. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. She mentioned before a CD and DVD set titled Same-Sex Marriage Affects Everyone. You'll find information posted on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click On Demand, and you'll find more information on Jennifer Roback Morris and this CD and DVD set, Same-Sex Marriage Affects Everyone. Talk to you next week, Jennifer.
Thanks a million, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we'll talk about worldviews, yours, your neighbors, whether or not they're Christian. Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe will be our guest.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand Audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Joe Fleming, Pastor John Laux, Wendy Larson, Ross Ricker, Pastor Stanley Zakowski, Sue Schwartz, Amy Marie Fleming, Carl Hester, Pastor Jack Kirk, and Ruth Fleming. Thanks for your support.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.